Thank you, David. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome. Thank you for being here today on a Saturday afternoon, learning about trading. My presentation today is the technical blueprint for generating big profits trading futures indices in the first 2 hours of the New York trading session. My name is Anka Metcalf, and I am the CEO and founder of TradeOutloud.com, which is a trading education firm that is specialized in educating individuals how to day trade and swing trade the futures and the equities market. I day trade every morning, and today I will be sharing with you some of my techniques and what I use to trade futures and why I trade futures. And I am specialized in day trading futures indices. I specialize in day trading futures indices and swing trading indices, commodities, and also stocks. I have a love relationship with stocks. I have started my trading career day trading stocks, actually, and I gravitated about 7 years ago full-time to day trading futures. Prior to becoming a professional independent trader, and I have been a professional independent trader for more than 16 years now, I come from banking background. I come with 10 plus years of investment banking experience. I'm also the designer of an institutional proprietary trading system that is based on price support resistance, major support, minor support, major resistance, and minor resistance that enables me to identify buying opportunities with these. And we do have some examples in today's presentation about these levels of support. Also specific trigger times, because every single day the market goes through the same cycle. It opens at 9:30, just like Jeremy mentioned it before. So the market opens, guess when? 9:30 New York trading session. It has a specific ritual every single day. And I will share with you today what are the specific trigger times for the morning session so you don't waste your time and your money. And you develop patience to wait for the setups to form at that specific price time. I'm also very focused on the location, on the specific price locations where these indices are trading. There are four specific price locations on charts where price tends to stabilize, the price tends to create buying opportunities or shorting opportunities. And of course, these areas are prone to institutional buying and selling. So this is something else than prior support resistance or any kind of support resistance area for that matter. I also focus on chart synchronicity and divergency. What this is basically you're going to try to select the relative strength instruments to trade or the relative weak instrument to trade depending on the relevant direction of the market. If you're having an overall strong market environment, obviously you're going to go with the index that has the relative strength because you want to have your money work for you. You don't want to be a sitting duck in that instrument for a long period of time. If the market has an overall weak structure, you will go with the weakest index, or even if you're trading stocks, this can be applied to stocks, obviously, you're going to go with the relative weak relative weak trade, because that is where the power and the institutional flow is going to go into. I also have a strict set of trading rules and a 10-point scoring system that I apply every single day to my trading plan to try to maximize my gain. If you guys want to get a hold of us, we are on TradeOutloud.com. You can find us. You can find more information about our products or services on TradeOutloud.com and also on social media. Our handle is TradeOutloud everywhere. So what we do, basically, we do provide trading education classes for futures day trading. We're just wrapping the first course for fall, which was right now in September. We have one more day. We're going to wrap it up on Monday with the implementation class. We also teach the Power Well Futures Swing and Active Investing class for part-time traders, for traders that cannot allocate time to spend in front of the computers. This is almost like literally a hands-off type of system. Just set it and forget it and go along and with your day. And also swing trading and active investing for stocks. We also provide services services, and I run a trading room and a mentoring room, and which is every single day from 9 o'clock in the morning till 4 p.m. Eastern. Here's my agenda for today, guys, and I'm very excited because this comes as a great continuation of what the prior two presenters today have discussed. I'm going to talk to you about the basics, the futures. We're going to go futures 101, why I trade futures, why I have switched from trading stocks to trading futures, when to trade futures, when is the optimum buy, when is the optimum time to buy or to short futures, the advantages of trading futures, because futures trading carry tons of advantages compared to any other instrument. And I'm also going to be sharing with you day trading and swing trading futures time frames. So what are the time frames that I focus on and I narrow my entries? And these are some of the execution time frames that I'm going to be sharing them with you. And of course, what is a presentation without risk and reward? And I really didn't have any idea that Jeremy is going to talk about risk and reward. But guys, this is what is going to make or break your account. It's not the strategy that you apply. It's not the time of the day, literally, that matters that much. It's how much you're willing to risk, and that risk to reward ratio. And of course, position sizing, which is most important, more important than anything else. Believe me, the more you understand that, you have to first know how to position size and what the risk to reward is for the trade before you even go into strategies and patterns and anything else. So every manual actually should start with this instead of just having it, you know, just dropping in there a hint, or some manuals don't even include this. And this is one of the most important things for traders. I'm also going to be talking a little bit about E-mini micros. And as you know, on May 6th, the CME group just launched the micros, which are a fantastic addition for the futures market. And they are a fantastic opportunity for small account holders, but also for larger account holders that actually can participate in the most volatile situations into the market by better position sizing for their trade. And also, I'm going to be talking about averaging, scaling in and out of trade, when to build a position and when the trade is, and when the trade, and how to act, how to add on to your trade when your trade is into a power trend, whether up or down. And I have an example that is really amazing because it happened this week into the FOMC meeting, right after the FOMC meeting. And as you know, after the FOMC meeting, the first reaction, the first wave was to the downside, and then came that rotation that carried the price higher and actually continued in the overnight trading session. So let's talk about the basics. So why trade futures and when to trade futures, right? And about the advantages of this fantastic instrument. Well, first of all, let's start with the beginning. Well, as you know, if you want to open a day trading account, you need a minimum of about $25,000, and you have to have at least $30,000 in your account in order to start day trading. Because if you lose 1 cent out of that $25,000, you lose your right to day trade in that account. You could also have, and you guys also have access to prop trading accounts. And there are some prop trading companies out there that are willing to lend you out their capital. You just have to prove that you can trade and they can fund you, or you can come up with some risk capital, and you're going to get your buying power built on that. But also note that when you're trading stocks, you need more money to put in your account. So you need a lot of money, right? In order to make money with futures, where in the futures market, you have a minimum requirement of about $5,000 to open a day trading account. And guess what, guys? TradeStation has just launched a new program where you can open an account. Guess what, guys? $500 to trade futures and micros. So you can open an account right now with $500 and you can day trade futures, because as long as you have the margin requirement to trade the index or the commodity that you're trading, you could actually start trading futures. So if you want more information on that, just shoot me an email. It's not something that I advertise, but they're working with us, and we are providing a special program with really low commissions for individuals that want to open a trading account with TradeStation. So just shoot me an email. So the thing is that when you're day trading, depending on your broker and depending on your account, you can have a leverage of 2-to-1 or 4-to-1. But guess what? In the futures market, you can have a leverage of about 10-to-1. Now, there's one thing here that I want to add. I typically, and I not typically, but I do not trade on on margin. I have never traded on margin and I do not recommend trading on margin, but it's totally up to you. Margin can be a double-sided sword. The other thing that I like about trading futures is that it allows you to trade 24 hours a day, literally almost 24 hours a day. So it has a brief interruption. The futures market closes at 4:15 and then it reopens at 5 o'clock and then it for a few minutes and then it closes again and then the trading session restarts at 6 o'clock. So it's like an on and off schedule from 4:15 to 6 o'clock. I don't recommend you trade around that time at all. There's barely any volume into the market. There's a lot of balancing that is going on and then everybody's getting ready for the new trading session that starts at 6 o'clock. So the reason I love to trade futures is because you can actually participate in trading events that are happening outside of the New York trading session. And it allows you to participate in these really big volatile moves that may happen in the overnight trading session. My sweet spot, because I'm a day trader, I'm on the East Coast, and I love to trade the first 2 hours in the morning. I love to trade from 9:30, so when the market opens, until about 11:30 or 12 o'clock. And this is my prime time focus for trading futures. The rest of the day, I look for longer term trades. I look for possible initiations and some swing trades for commodities. So my day trading focus is just geared for these 2 hours. And you're going to probably ask me, why do I like the first 2 hours? Well, because we have the influx from the London session. We actually have the overlap from the London session, as you can see here, with the New York trading session. So we're getting a double volume. So it means that everything is going to start moving. Everything is volatile. And this is good for price action. So don't misunderstand volatility. So volatility is good for the market, but when it is in moderation, we don't want the volatility that we had, let's say last December, that is incredibly high. And actually last quarter, October, November, December, and then we had another volatile environment at the beginning of the year last year. And every single spike that you see in the market, every tweet that comes out creates huge volatility. And what that actually means is that when you're looking at the overall trend, that volatility I'm going to share with you today in some charts, that volatility is actually a brief interruption in the trend. And then the price is going to need to balance out a little bit before it finds its true direction again. But I love trading the first 2 hours. They carry just a little bit of volatility so it can push the price to targets. I like it because you're super focused in the first 2 hours. And remember that the human brain cannot focus for more than 30 minutes at a time, because every 30 minutes, the brain goes on into a commercial break. And you could actually observe this when you're super focused when the market opens. If you don't get a setup right away, you go like, okay, you're watching the chart, and you lose your interest. And then you go like, okay, I got to check out and see what's happening on Twitter, what other traders are doing. And then you go back to the chart. It's only normal for this to happen. And that's why if you're an active day trader, I truly suggest you narrow your trading into some specific hours. And the morning session is where the majority of traders, institutions, most of the high frequency trading computers are just triggering around these times. The market closes, like I said, around 4:15 to 6 o'clock. And at 6 o'clock, the market reopens. Now, if you have a full-time job, you could definitely take advantage of the overall market. All you have to do is switch your strategy around. So what that means is that instead of being a day trader and focused on the first 2 hours, you're expanding your time frame a little bit. You're zooming out to a higher time frame, like the 1 hour, the 30 minute, the 4 hour, or even the daily, and you place your trade on those higher time frames. So there's, you know, you could actually benefit from a lot of moves that are happening in the overnight price action. When Asian session opens, so basically from 6 o'clock to about 10 o'clock or so, 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, you're not getting huge, huge volume and really dynamic moves, not unless you have some releases that are coming out from, I don't know, Bank of Japan or something like that. But basically, you're going to be looking at charts at about 9:30 or 10 o'clock and try to see if you have a setup where you can act on, and you could just set it up, set your entry, set your stop, and then set your targets. And the trade is going to work on autopilot for you. Time flexibility. Basically, the stock market is open from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Not a lot of traders can afford the luxury to become a day trader, because remember, you need to have a little bit of reserve money and you, in order to pay your bills, so you don't put any pressure on your trading account. It's always helpful if you have like a part-time job or some source of income that is really going to generate a little bit of income for you, so you can cover your daily or monthly expenses, so you don't have to create that pressure on yourself, you know, to make money every single day in the market or to make money every single month in the market because there are months and months. There are months that may be better and months that may not work as well. And it truly depends not really on your performance. It truly depends on how the market acts as well. So there are days and days and there are months and months. So you don't want to put that pressure on you. So basically the stock market is open only 5 days a week. So guess what? Geopolitical events, guys, do not wait for the market to open. Events happen. And especially with the trade war, you could have China retaliation on the tariffs, and you could have all sorts of things that are happening in the overnight trading session, because that's when their sessions, that's when their market is open. So many markets that affect the U.S. market trade outside of the U.S. market hours. And if you're a stock trader, guess what? You have to wait until the market opens the next day, because you can't actually take part into the actual move that happens in the market. And guess what? In the morning, you're going to be left up with a gap up or a gap down. If you don't have a good handle on gaps, and if you don't know how to trade gaps, you're just going to stare at it and you're going to say, man, I wish I could have traded in between the gap, right? In between the gap. But the futures market is a 24-hour market. It's open 6 days a week, and futures traders can react as events unfold. And that's the beauty of it. Now, I'm going to give you an example side by side here. And this is a chart of the queues. And let me just get my pen. So side by side, we have chart of the queues that you could see it right here. And we have a chart of NASDAQ, the E-mini NASDAQ. So this is the futures contract. So as you can see, the strategy is pretty simple. We're looking at resistance. We're looking at support. And basically the price was balancing out, right? So this is support right here. You can see it. This is resistance right here. So if you're trading, let's say, a breakout strategy, this is going to be your entry point, right? And your stop is going to go below the low. So this is your entry point. This is your stop. And you're going to determine your target. And targets are determined either into prior pivot highs or extensions or whatever technique you may be using to determine target. In this example, the target was right here into a pivot that you see noted with green. So this is the risk. This is the risk right here. And this is the target right here. So pretty much you're having a one-on-one R situation here until you have another second range and the price breaks out. Because guess what? Once you're trading a really powerful trend, remember that an object in motion tends to remain in motion. And oftentimes you're not getting pullbacks. And in really strong market environments, you're getting a straight move up, you're getting a range, and then you're getting a continuation range out, a continuation from that range to, let's say, to the upside, like in this example. Now, from this breakout point, and this is just a measured move, from this breakout point all the way into the first resistance area that we had on the chart, this is an impressive move. It's actually a $1.5 move. So if you would be trading this move with about 100 shares, you would make about $150, which is really good, right? If you have a smaller trading account size, you would be required to have about $10,000 in buying power, and you would make like $150 on this move. But let me put it side by side for you. This is NASDAQ right here, okay? If I would cover the symbols here, and if I would cover the price on the right-hand side, you would actually swear this is a carbon copy of the same chart. You could see the moving averages. And by the way, I'm going to be sharing with you what moving averages I use. You could see that the moving averages are exact into the exact location. So this is the 200 SMA, this is the 20 SMA, and this is my 10 EMA right here. So you could see that the moving averages are equidistant, which means that you're getting a heavy flow of price that is going to try to push the price more to the upside. The reality is that the strategy that we applied in this case is the same. We're having the same strategy. We have resistance here. We have support on the bottom. We have the breakout that carried the price higher into our target one. And basically, if you do a little bit of a measure move here, you can notice that this is an 100-point move. Now, it's not unusual for the market in high volatility to actually perform and to actually trade on 100-point up or 100-point down, because this is what volatility does. And you're getting price fluency that is getting pushed into targets. And especially you're going to get these huge dynamic moves, not only when you have news, because news obviously is going to push the price on either side of the tape, but also if you're having tradable voids. Tradable voids are that those distances between your trigger price and actually the next resistance area. If you don't have any other clutter, any other pivots, or any other influencers to the left-hand side that may stall the price from advancing to your first target, then you're going to have a really nice run into that target area, because that resistance that is on top is just going to suck the price right into it and super, super fast. That's when you're getting these power trends. Now, you can see here that this is a 15-minute chart, but if I would have showed you, let's say, a 2-minute chart, you would see that it has a really nice gradual movement where you're most likely going to have the 10 exponential moving average that is following the price to the upside. So in this move right here, from the breakout to this first target, just the same example like you used in the queues, this is actually on a 100-point move. 100 and 1 point in NASDAQ is $20. And basically what you're doing here is this is a $2,000 measure move. And you're going to ask, okay, so much money into the same chart pattern. So I teach traders, and this really resonated to me because I, like I said before, I'm coming from a day trading background. So I've been day trading forever, for over 20 years. And I've trading day trading and swing trading stocks for over 20 years. And only about 7 years ago, it came to me as like, hey, wait a minute. So I'm trading the stocks and I'm always looking at the Qs, the spies, and the diamonds so I can form my bias, form my relative strength, and categorize what to trade on a separate day. So basically, what is the common denominator here? I'm looking at the indices. So why not trade just the indices? And then I started to day trade. Futures. And then slowly, and obviously gradually, I have exited the stock day trading environment. And I was only focused on four charts. That's it. So basically, I only trade, I'm going to share it with you guys, the E-mini S&P. I trade E-mini Dow, E-mini Russell, and the E-mini NASDAQ. Okay. So I only trade four charts. And I realized that I can actually use less buying power and I can make more money with the same strategy that I'm applying for my day trading, for my stock day trading. So you can see here that you're using pretty much $10,000 to make what, $150 on the same measure move. While if you were trading NASDAQ, again, with one contract, I'm not telling you about thousands of contracts. No, just one contract, trading the same setup, $8,000 in buying power. This is a $2,000 measure move. Okay. So it really resonates to me. So one of the other advantages is not only the buying power and maximizing your capital efficiency, because you want to make money using very little risk from your side, but also you can take on a short position with these with a no uptick rule. Now I'm going to ask you guys, how many of you have scanned for a stock and wanted to enter a trade, did your analysis, and when the time came to hit the button and buy and short your stock, you got that little window on your screen saying hard to borrow. Okay. So you were not able to short the stock, right? It happened to me all the time when, you know, I was looking for a stop, the market shift direction, and you're going quickly through your scan list, and you find a stock and you go like, oh, I can't short this. Okay. You can short any time of the day and night into the futures market. Plus you have really reliable volume, whether you're trading the full contract or you're trading the mini, you get way better commissions than in stock trading. And in fact, if you're trading with TradeStation, you're going to have like 50 cents per contract round trip. If you're trading micros, you don't need to use a scanner. I still use a scanner to this very day because I still have a lot of stocks that I trade, that I swing trade, but I don't day trade. So I use the scanner for that, but that's an additional cost. That could be like from $200 to $300 a month just for the scanner. You don't need any special indicators to trade futures. And remember, guys, you need to read price action. And this is why we love to invite guests into this show that trade your price action. So you don't need any special indicators. A couple of moving averages that you can see that everybody everybody in this presentation, everybody in this show today is pretty much using. So we have that common denominator, and there are certain tax advantages. You have the 60-40 rule at the end of the 60-40 rule for US. At the end of the year, you have just the 1099B form, and guess what? That is less expense for your accountant. There's no pump and dump. It is safe from rumors. There's no manipulation, and guess what? The indices do not react on any downgrades or upgrades. Now, what to trade? Now, if you're a day trader, like I said, I focus on the four E-minis, right? And I focus on the indices. I trade the Dow, the S&P 500, NASDAQ, and Russell. That's pretty much it. This is my whole trading universe. So it could be super simple. The rest of the panel that you can see here, energies, metals, grains, bonds, you can trade currencies or even currencies, currency pairs. They are fantastic for swing trading. So use them for higher time frames. If you want to day trade, and of course there are exceptions to the rules where there are a lot of traders that are trading copper they trade copper when they're executing some, let's say, swing initiation. So they're capitalizing on the swing setup, but they're trading it based on that swing setup for a shorter duration of time. So they're not going to hold that position for a longer period of time. But you're not going to be trading copper on a day-to-day basis. You're not going to be trading gold on a day-to-day basis. You're not going to be trading probably bonds on a day-to-day basis. The day-to-day basis, basically, you have to focus on, and this is what I focus on. I focus on the indices. So as I was mentioning earlier, I just trade the E-mini Dow, the E-mini S&P, NASDAQ, and Russell. So it's really hard to lose focus and try to find an entry when you are only focused on four charts. And that's it. You focus on four charts. Now, here's my trading plan. And like I mentioned before, at the beginning of the presentation, the market has a certain tempo. The market opens at 9:30, and I'm going to explain to this in detail in the next slide. The market opens at 9:30, and I'd like to try to focus my entries around 9:30, and then I would like to find an entry 9:30 to 9:45, and then into 10 o'clock, I would like to wrap up my trade, because in the morning, the best thing to do is not to marry your trade. You get in, you get out around 10 o'clock, very rapid price action. There's a lot of balancing that is happening around that time. And then if you are not in a trade, I like to wait until 10:30, and I will explain that in detail. But basically the market works like this. It opens at 9:30, it shoots up or down into 10 o'clock. At 10 o'clock, it's going to rotate, and then it's going to set up a new pivot low or a new pivot high, depending on the trade, into 10:30. Time frame. I use the 1 minute, the 2 minute, and the 5 minute. And I use just two simple strategies. I either look for pullback buys or pullback sells with confirmation. Never buy it really on support, because if you're buying on support, you're going to have a tight stop, but you are going to incur multiple losses because you're going to get in, you're going to get stopped out. You're going to get in, you're going to get stopped out. You don't have the price rotation confirmation. We're going to talk a little bit about that towards the end of the presentation. I have specific time frames. I use the 9:35, I use the 9:45, I use the 10 o'clock, and I use the 10:30. This is my Bible right here. So if the market opens at 9:30 and it shoots up immediately, I look for a long position at around 9:35. And that is like maximum laser focus attention into the 9:35. 9:45 is, again, that fleecing effect is almost over, right? Because when you're trading the open, you have to be really good at what you're doing. I don't advise old traders to start, you know, just because you guys saw this chart and you're going to just full throttle on Monday into 9:35. No, you have to know, and I'm going to explain a little bit what to look for around 9:30, 9:45, 10 o'clock, or 10:30. But around these times, setups form on the 1, the 2 minute charts at around these times. And of course, when you initiate the trade, you have to measure the setups and determine your ESTRP, your entry, your stop, your target, your risk, and your position size for the trade. So here's how the market opens. It opens at 9:30, and this is one of the reasons. And by the way, one of the reasons why I trade from 9:30 is because there's huge influx of economic releases that are coming in at 8:30, and by 9:30, the London session is going to try to manage to balance that information, and it's going to try to find the true range for the open session. And then when the New York trading session opens, takes that information into consideration, and it finds its own balance. So you usually it takes about 5 to 15 minutes in order to find that balance. After it finds that balance, the market is going to move up and into 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock is known as being the market reversal time. So traders that had initiated trades into the 9:30 are going to look to lock in profit into 10 o'clock. Lock in profit, never marry the trade. And then at 10 o'clock, this is the rotation time. This is the reversal time in the market. The market is going to start to pull back. Now, all you have to do is wait, okay? All you have to do is wait. And by 10 o'clock, you have to shift your time frame from that 1 to 2 minute time frame that you're trading from 9:30 to 10 o'clock. You have to shift your time frame to 5 minutes because you want to eliminate the noise from the morning so you can actually look and focus on the next setup that is likely to form at around 10:30. And you're getting the pullback at or around 10:30. It could be 5 minutes or 10 minutes sooner, or it could be 10 minutes after the 10:30. So it has about 20 minutes of balancing around that time. If this prior low does not challenge the open range from 9:30 till 10 o'clock, so remember that 30 minute is so important. And if this pullback is shallow, you're going to look for a buy setup into, if obviously a pullback buy setup into this area to push the price higher back into 11:15 or 11:30. 11:15 or 11:30. Guess what happens, guys, at 11:30? Do you guys know? Okay. The London session closes. The London session closes at 11:30. This is the last hurrah. And all the traders are getting ready for what? For midday doldrums. I take a break every single day from 12 o'clock to 2 o'clock. I don't trade around that time. Anything can happen. I don't care if the market is going to go 500 points up or 500 points down. I don't want to be in the market around that time. That is the doldrum period. A lot of shakeouts are happening around that time. There are a lot of fake moves that are happening. Support resistance is being often tested and trading is not reliable. Then there is the second type of scenario where the market opens at 9:30 and is trying to balance out. This is usually in a little bit more volatile environment. If we had, I don't know, GDP numbers or unemployment claims or anything along those lines, any kind of econ, the market is going to try to digest that piece of information before it heads higher or lower. And it usually forms a range. And you would have to look at the high of the range. And if you are a conservative trader, you're going to look to buy above the range. And again, you're going to look to take targets into a resistance area that is going to coincide with the first major reversal time in the market, which is 10 o'clock, right? So 10 o'clock, remember, a lot of traders that are trading gaps, a lot of traders that are trading any other instrument is going to look to lock in profits. And even algos are programmed to take profit into 10 o'clock. So not only technical analysis suggests that you cannot have an extensive move up on any time frame after you had a run up, let's say, of 3, 5, or 8 bars, and also to the downside, right? The market needs a break. The index needs a break. The stock needs a break. And then you're getting the same scenario with the pullback. And if you're getting a shallow pullback into the prior highs, then you're going to be looking for another leg into the trade. Also, this can happen to the downside. So the market can open at 9:30, can slide into 10 o'clock. At 10 o'clock, you may get a shallow pullback. And then at 10:30, you could have actually the retest and the slide lower. Well, what happens if you have a sideways market into 10 o'clock? If you have a sideways market into 10 o'clock, and if the price is ranging, and if the price is actually trying to test the highs, then the breakout is imminent. If the price is actually trading into the lower band of the range, you may have to wait a little bit because depending on the trend of the trade that you're in or looking to get in, that may be a buying opportunity off the lows or maybe actually an attempt for a breakdown. So this is the Futures Basics 101. This is the 2-minute chart. Remember, I have been trading for 20 years and I do have a lot of experience with small time frames. I have been a very active trader, futures trader, and also stock trader. I have been trading with these small time frames for a very long time. And I know how price acts and I know how to read the price for maximum accuracy. So basically in the overnight trading session, you can see it here. It is highlighted with gray and I like to have it highlighted with gray on my platform. You can see that it's divided right here. And the overnight trading session was pretty flat and you could see that it formed a range. I like to mark the high of the range, the low of the range. I like to find, this is basically resistance and support, nothing sophisticated. And I look for a breakout around 9:30 to 9:35. In this case, it happened at 9:33. Breakout, this becomes my entry, this becomes my stop. You position size for this move move right here, the trade shoots up. Guess when? Into 10 o'clock. And at 10 o'clock, you're having a sideways range. Remember what I said? The price may not always pull back, but it may form a range. Into 10 o'clock, it's digestion time. And then at 10 o'clock, then into 10:30, you're getting another breakout move. So after the 10 o'clock range, you're going to be looking for what here? You're not going to be looking for short. Why are you not looking short? Because you have a strong area of resistance here. And if this low is actually holding the prior resistance, is trading above the prior resistance, you're going to be looking for a continuation higher. And here we go into 11 o'clock. From 11:30, and this actually is my exit right here, because it shot up and then it came back down. You could see the small resistance developed here. You could see the second resistance developed here. And then I'm giving myself a chance. I'm not getting out exactly at resistance. I'm trailing into the target, because this is something that my mentor taught me, to let your winners actually run and kill your losers, right? You get a stop, you stop out. But when I'm trading, if I hit target one or if I hit target two, I don't take all my profit there and take my money and run. I don't. Because if you are in a strong potential power trend, because at the beginning of the day, you have no idea if that's going to develop into a power trend or not. This is something that nobody knows. You have the clues and you have the technicals on your side that may point into that direction. But how many times have it happened that you get a push up into the first 30 minutes or let's say hour of the day, and then you remain sideways for the whole entire day? So my mentor taught me never to take profit at that certain target, but lift my stop up and trail. And you have to have a really good trailing strategy in place for that. So throughout the trading session, throughout the afternoon trading session, you can expect a lot of sideways price action. So the preparation, so how you need to prepare for trading day if you want to be a day trader. First of all, you have to check your economic releases. The second thing is you have to check your earnings, because earnings are fuel for the indices. If you're going to have Google that will report earnings, let's say, before the market opens, you're going to notice probably a big move up in NASDAQ, right? And therefore, you're going to do your routine, your relative strength, your relative weakness, and you're not going to be trading, let's say, I don't know, the Dow, right? You're going to be trading NASDAQ, because NASDAQ has the higher odds of running higher, because Google is such a big component within the queues, within NASDAQ, that obviously is going to influence the M&E NASDAQ in a positive way. Let's say on good earnings, it's going to make it push higher. So you have to predetermine your market plan. You have to look at prior price action to determine the forecast for the current trading session. You have to use multi-time frame analysis. You have to do a thorough top-down analysis every day. I start with the highest time frame. And yes, I trade the 1 minute chart or the 2 minute chart or the 5 minute chart or the 15 minute chart, but not my analysis starts every single day on the monthly chart, because hey, guess what? This week we were trading really close into all time highs, really close, really right there, borderline all time highs. And guess what? I was looking for a monthly rotation, because if that rotation would have triggered, guess what? We would have went skyrocket high and go into extensions higher. And then you zoom in. So after you get all this, because you have to know where your momentum is coming from. And your momentum is dictated by higher time frame, not from the 1 minute and 2 minute. And then you zoom in on your smaller time frame on 1 minute and 2 minute for precise execution. You determine your support resistance. You determine your key trigger locations. You determine, again, like I said, your relative strength and your relative weakness and indices to know what to trade. Because I know a lot of traders here are thinking, hey, you know what? I'm just going to pick one. I'm just going to trade the M&E S&P. Yeah, it's okay. If you want to do that, that's your choice. I, however, trade all of these futures indices, and I like to pick the strongest from the bunch or the weakest from the bunch. If trading at all-time highs, to determine always the Fib projections for target beyond all-time highs, and this is something that I was watching on Friday. All right, so futures, basically, when you're trading, you have to make sure that you know how to evaluate your bullish areas and your bearish areas. So in this example, with green, I have highlighted the extreme bullish activity. So if we get a pullback into this area with a confirmation of rotation, so I don't buy necessarily on support, because you can see that there is a strong support level here, but I don't buy it here. So I wait for the rotation. In this case, the rotation never happened. So in this case, I don't short here because I have such a wide risk, but I just wait until the price comes back. And then if the price stabilizes within the bottom of this range, of this upper upper gray, of this upper red area, I'm going to look at to buy it back into the back into the highs. If it slides, if it forms a shallow range and a small range into this area, then it's going to slide back into the bottom of this channel. And then at the bottom of this channel, guess what? I'm going to be a buyer at that level. I do the same for all the indices, and I do this on major time frames, on bit measured time frames. So day trading time frames, my income producing strategies work on the tick charts and super high volatility markets, 1-2 minute, 5 minute, and 15 minute. They're not all created equal. You have to know when to use the 1 minute, because you're not going to trade the 1 minute all throughout the trading session. Very active session, you're going to be trading just the beginning of the trading session on the 1 minute in the first, let's say, 5 to 10 minutes. And then you're going to transition to the 2 minute. After 10 o'clock, you go to the 5 minute, and then you're going to have to go through lunch into the 15 minute. If you're a swing trader, wealth generator, your focus and your execution is going to be on the 1 hour, 4 hour, and daily, with thorough analysis on the weekly, the monthly, and the quarterly. My trading time frames, my day trading time frames, and when and how to use them, you could actually take a snapshot of this slide. If you're using the tick chart 233 and 512 in very volatile and very volatile market environments, I probably use them once or twice a year. 1 minute, focus on the 9:30 to 10:30 a.m. 2 minute from 9:30 to 10 o'clock. The 5 minute from 10 o'clock to 11:30. The 15 minute chart, you're going to be using from 11:30 to 2 o'clock. The 5 minute chart, you're going to go back to the 5 minute chart from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock. If you are a London or an Asian trading session, or if you plan on trading the Asian or the London session, I only trade the 4 hour and the 1 hour for overnight trades. That's it, period. Time frame analysis and how I perform my multi-time frame analysis. So I look at I start with the very largest time frame, and this is my monthly chart right here, bottom right. And I transition, I look at the ranges, I look at where the price is trading in relation to the prior highs, in relation to the moving averages, in relation to support resistance, including the momentum that the monthly has. And then I zoom into the weekly. And this is, again, all this to trade just the 1 minute chart. Now, how many traders in here do that? And how many traders around the world do this? Because they have tunnel vision. And if they're a 1 minute or a 2 minute time frame trader, that's what they have on their screens. And they focus on just on the time frames. And they wonder, it's like, why did I stop out again? Well, you stopped out. Why? Because your 1 hour chart was signaling a short while your 1 minute was signaling a buy. And guess what? Guess who is going to have the upper hand? The 1 hour chart. So before hitting the buy button, guys, think about this. Think about the risk to reward. So before you initiate a trade, think about how much I'm risking and how much I want to make. So if someone tells you that that person made $1,500, you see this on social media all the time. It's like, oh, wow, I made $1,000. I made $1,500 on this trade. Is he a good trader or a bad trader? The first thing you go like, oh man, I'm jealous. You know, this trader made $1,500. I had a $300 loss on the day, or I lost my account that day. And you see, that's not a great feeling. I hate that, right? But the reality is that, you know, it's great that that person made money, right? And it's great that that person had a fantastic day. But what if that trader was risking $3,000 or $5,000 just to make that $1,500? Does that make him a good trader, or does that make him a bad trader? So what if he risked $500 to make that $1,500? Then he is a fantastic trader. But if he risked $3,000 to make $500, that's not such a great idea, because that doesn't add up. You're risking more than you're making, okay? So the reality is that the success of any trade can only be measured in terms of risk. So when you think about it, what is risk? Is the amount a trader is willing to lose on a trade. This measure varies from trader to trader, and it depends on their account size. Can it be a percentage, or can be a set amount? But every time a trader hits the buy or the sell button, it opens up the chance for a loss, okay? So what is risk? Here we have a sell setup, and like I mentioned, I use two simple strategies, the buy setup, the sell setup, basically, and the breakout or the breakdown. Here we have a sell setup, the trade is moving lower, but this is the entry point. You see this red candle right here that is taking out the prior low, and I'm putting my stop right here, and you're having the price run into the 20 SMA, because remember, price cannot stay extended for longer periods of time from their moving averages. The moving averages are going to suck them up like a magnet, and then they're going to release again. So in this example, we have the mini S&P short here at 3011 with a stop at 30, 3013. So you have a 2-point risk. What is the target? So you have to calculate the target ahead of time before getting into a trade. And if this is a good risk to reward ratio, then you get into the trade. And you can see here that you have pretty much 3 R's on your hand. So you're getting the price back into the support level right here. This is your ultimate target for the trade, and the trade hits your exact target. So you risk 2 points, you make 6 points. How about a buy strategy? You're looking for a pullback buy. Guess where? This is the 50 SMA right here, is also confluence area from prior price action. This is the mini Dow. Your entry long is above this prior candle high. It triggers, you get in, your stop is below the candle low. But notice that I'm saying above and below, right? Because you're not entering at the exact price. You don't know that. If you don't know why, it's because you want the price to confirm to you that it's ready to go higher, or it is ready to continue lower. So this is the entry 27,225. The stop is 27,215. And your target is into resistance. This is just your target one, right? Your potential reward for this trade is 27,250. So you're risking about 10 points to make 25 points. So that's a good trade. So the success of the trade can only be considered only if you take into consideration the risk for the trade. So before deciding to trade, you have to evaluate first your risk, second, your potential reward. If the risk is asymmetric, like in the example that I gave you guys before, so that trader that made $1,500 and that trader was risking, let's say, $3,000 or $5,000. So that risk was asymmetric because you were hitting resistance. Oftentimes, and in a sideways market, you're going to get a trigger that is hitting resistance. You don't take the trade. All you have to do is wait. Wait for the market to clear the area. You don't have to have your footprints in the market. Let other traders clear the area for you, and then you get into the market when you see a better setup. So if the risk is asymmetric, the trade should be totally skipped and the trader should wait for a better setup. It's just common sense. When you're getting the good risk, meaning you're risking one unit and you look for 2 or 3 units or 4 or 5 units, depending on the case, that is a good risk, okay? So let's do the math, right? So in this example that I showed you, the S&P trade, we had 2-point risk and we made 6 points. If you're risking about $100 per contract, then you're looking to make about $300. And that is a 3-to-1 reward to risk. Check mark. The other example in YM, you're risking 10 points to make 25 points. You're making about two R's on that trade. So that's 120. You're risking $50 and you're making about $125 because your reward to risk is about 2-to-1. Position sizing will determine how many contracts you're going to take the trade with according to your account size and your daily loss limit. Position sizing should be determined by, one, your account size, and number two, for your risk tolerance. You could have a $200,000 account, but if you cannot manage a $2,000 risk per trade, it's fine if you go to a risk that you tolerate. Because remember, every single time you initiate a trade, you expose yourself to a loss. Now, on May 6th, the CME launched, guess what? The E-mini micros. These are great, guys, a great vehicle for traders to trade in volatile market environments, and also for small accounts. It's basically for one full size. It's basically 10 micros to a full size contract. So guess what this is going to do for you? It's going to allow smaller accounts to position size. There were a record number of accounts that were blown last year, including hedge funds. So not only retail traders blew up their accounts last year because of the volatility and because of the simple fact they did not know how to position size, but the reality is that they saw the setup, they got in, but they didn't look how much they were risking on the trade. So they placed their stops, and when they saw that the risk was ginormous, it was way too late. And it is the known fact that over 375 hedge funds have closed the doors last year because of the volatility. So in very volatile markets, it's always a great idea to go down in size. Do half the size, do quarter of the size, okay? So I just want to show you a quick example here of the power of the micros. You have, for a 5-point stop, you could use $25. So it's easy to position size. You could use 2 micros or 5 micros. Let's say you have a wider stop than, let's say you only want to risk $100 on a trade and you have a really wide stop, I don't know, in the mini S&P. Go to micros. You could take half the contract with basically you take 5 micros or less. So how did position size work? Okay, so let's say you only want to risk $200 per trade, but you're having a 5-point risk, right? You're having a 5-point risk in the full contract, and you can only risk $200 because that's your position size, right? You don't want to go above that. You don't want to go below that. Now you can do that, and you could actually position size with the micro and mini S&P, and you could actually trade 8 futures versus a full contract, which fits basically your plan, okay? Scaling in and out. It is always a great it's always a great idea not to put all your eggs at the entry point or at the exit point. It's great to scale in trades, especially in fleecy market, and it's really great to add on to your trade. It's also a great strategy to do a little bit of damage control. You can average in at the next level of support, but that's a topic for a different webinar. But basically, scaling is a trading strategy and a trading tactic both at the same time. So you could scale into a position, you could average in, you can buy a little bit here, and as it's going higher, you could actually get more in, or scale out at target one, you throw out half, at target two, go a quarter out, and then target three, for target three, you scale. So scaling should not be by chance, but it has to be technical. And I'm going to show you some examples of how we do it and how we traded actually the FOMC. So in the mini S&P was trading in a range, right? So you could see right here, this is the shock wave that the price was sent to after the drone attack on Saudi Arabia refineries, and the price shut down. At the close, the S&P traded here. So we're back into bottom of the range, right? So all you have to do is prepare the game plan in advance, mark your areas of confluence, mark your area support resistance, and determine your key level so you have certainty in your trading. FOMC came with panic. A lot of traders were saying like, oh man, this is going to sell off. The market is into highs. Oh my gosh, everything is doom and gloom. And guess what? The market rotated. By the way, this is a 15-minute chart. I called this into the trading room as a buy, not as a short. The buying the dip. Why did I buy the dip right here? Because it was trading, guess where? It was trading into support, okay? It was trading back into the support line. So that was a great buying opportunity, okay? And this is the rotation right here. You can see it. I bought it on the 5-minute and it exploded, literally exploded. And then it pulled in. You don't put your eggs in one basket. So you just scale in. You add little at a time. You go in gradually. At the next, the 30 minutes. So when the 30 minute hit, brand new candle on the 30 minute, I added a little bit more here at the 29.91 and the price exploded higher. You get another hourly rotation. So look where the arrow is. This another scale in for the trade. This is another example. It's an older example of a buy. You scale in right at the bottom. Why did I buy the dip here? Well, because it was trading on a daily support. And then you add another scale in at the 15 minute rotation. You add another scale in at the 30 minute and the 1 hour rotation. And you another scale in at the 4 hour rotation. Final and last scale in at a daily rotation. You can see the doji. And this is how you trade the dip. And this is actually what I teach in my class. And this is what we teach in the trading room whenever this occurs. So we're going to be teaching a class. And the class is going to be in October. It is the Power Income Futures Day Trading class. We're going to be teaching you the most powerful day trading chart patterns and how to exploit them for above average gains, the 6 major disciplines for every trade, how to precisely calculate your entries, your stop, your targets, your trade management, position sizing, and trailing, how to trade with maximum accuracy and have confidence in the time frame, and how to read time frames and how to read setups on different time frames, and aggressive strategies for when the market opens, so you're 2 hours and done on the day. I'm going to teach you market tempo, the complete market tempo and the market cycle, how to maximize your timing using key moving averages and other powerful indicators, nothing that is not available already from your broker, how to maximize your gains and minimize your losses using proper money management technique. I'm going to teach you the market timing, precise timing, when to act, when to buy and when to sell, and location, where to buy and where to sell. And of course, advanced technical analysis skills. You will never need another technical analysis book ever again. You don't need to browse for anything. This is a complete comprehensive system. It teaches traders how to trade from A to Z. If you're a beginner trader, this is for you. If you have been trading for a while, for 5 to 6 years, and you're not seeing the results, this is a class for you. It's really going to fine tune and tweak your trading. The class is always live. I host the class. I think the best way you can learn, you can ask questions and you can interact with me. The class is on, the class is live. You also receive the on-demand recordings. You also receive the manual, the platform layout, workstation initiation, unlimited retakes, and free retakes, guys, along the way. And also the class, start class. Thank you, Robert. The class starts October 21st. It is going to be a 6-day class every night from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern. If you sign up now, because we're just wrapping up the first class for September, remember, for the fall edition, if you sign up now, you're going to receive free access to the trading room and the mentoring room until December 31st. Deadline for this is into September, by September 30th at noon. If you want to find out more information, shoot us an email at info@tradealove.com. Thanks so much, guys, for hanging around. If you have questions, please feel free to email us at info@tradealove.com. Thank you so much. All right.